Toby. Let me pray for us again as we prepare to look at God's word together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd be speaking through me now and speaking through your word by your spirit, that we might look a little more like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So why are we at church this evening? Why have we gathered? Maybe we wanted to hang out with some fun people. Perhaps we thought we could learn something new about God. Possibly we're here because we had nothing else to do on a Sunday night. Why have we gathered? It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit that we're here. It's the Spirit who gathers us. And having brought us together, he has a reason for calling every single person into this room. He wants us to love and serve each other with the gifts that he's given us. Now, there's lots of confusion in the church today about the presence of God's Holy Spirit and specifically about spiritual gifts. The first century church of Corinth carried some of the same confusion. The church today and throughout history has asked questions like, is the Spirit only present in our church services when we invite him in? Do we only know he's here when we feel particular emotions while we're singing? Is he only present when someone is tangibly healed? Paul begins chapter 12 of his first letter to the Corinthians by reminding the church that they'd been formerly led astray to mute idols. But now that they're Christians, he doesn't want them to be ignorant. He doesn't want them to be uninformed about how the Holy Spirit manifests himself and distributes his gifts. And the first thing he wants them to get straight is the mark of the Spirit's presence. Take a look at verse 3. I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So anyone who has said Jesus is Lord and meant it has done so by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So let me be clear from the outset. The ability to speak in tongues or prophesy is not the ultimate marker that someone is a Christian. You proclaiming Jesus is Lord and meaning it is the mark that the Holy Spirit lives in you. So what does this mean? Well, it means that we don't need to pray for the Spirit to show up on a Sunday. He doesn't need to grab a name tag on his way in. He's already here because every person in this building who can proclaim that Jesus is Lord has the Spirit living within them. Now, of course, the Spirit is only present with us because of the work of Jesus on the cross. Because Jesus died, rose again, and ascended, he poured out his Spirit into the hearts of all who put their trust in him. The presence of the Spirit from our triune God blesses us in a number of ways. So today, as we continue our When We Gather series, we're going to consider what the Holy Spirit gets up to during a Sunday service. So here's our outline. When we gather, the Spirit gives us gifts to serve one another, makes the team work, and produces good fruit. So let's begin with point one. When we gather, the Spirit gives us gifts to serve one another. If you declare Jesus to be your Lord, the Holy Spirit lives within you. That means that you'll have at least one spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us the purpose of these gifts. Have a look at verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These gifts are not given for our own personal gain, benefit, or status, but for the sake of God's church. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts for the common good and to build us all up. These gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes each gift as he determines. Now, throughout the New Testament, we get various lists of spiritual gifts, and none of them are exhaustive. But we're just going to have a look now at the gifts that were mentioned in our first Bible reading and consider how we might see them manifest on a Sunday. This will just be a very brief overview. We'll have to save the details for another time. So firstly, a message of wisdom and a message of knowledge. So his gifts appear to have quite a bit of overlap. They seem to generally be referring to when God gives an individual a special ability to understand his revelation and apply it to a specific situation. So we may see these evident on a Sunday in something the preacher, the service leader, the music leader says, or it could even be something that's said during an interview in the service. Next, the gift of faith. So this gift of faith is different from faith for salvation, which every Christian has. So we see this in someone who has a uniquely strong and unshakable confidence in God, his word, his promises, and the power of prayer. So one of the ways we might see this in action during a Sunday service is during intercessory prayers. So sometimes it's particularly clear that a prayer has full confidence that God hears and responds to what we ask him. Next, the gifts of healing and miraculous powers. So again, it seems there's quite a bit of overlap here. We see these gifts at play as God works through people in ways that can only be attributed to his power. So on a Sunday, we might observe this gift when someone prays for someone else during communion prayer or after the service. When we seek healing, God, through his giftings, can kindly provide us with comfort, symptom relief, and in some cases, miraculous healing. Next, we have the gifts of prophecy and distinguishing between spirits. So prophecy seems to be the communication of God's revelation and application of it to a particular context. Distinguishing between spirits appears to be the ability to weigh and evaluate the origin, authority, and application of a prophetic message. So we can see these gifts in action on a Sunday when God's word is explained and applied. We also find in our passage the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. So this involves someone speaking in a language given by God previously unknown to them and then someone else interpreting what has been spoken. So sometimes here at St. Alf's during a Sunday service, someone will speak a tongue, and after the tongue is spoken, the service leader will ask if anyone has an interpretation. This is so that the whole congregation can know what God might be saying. And the process must be orderly, as per 1 Corinthians 14, and for the sake of building up the church. Now, there's just a couple of things I'd like to note here. So firstly, I want to acknowledge that Christians have different views on some of these giftings. So, for example, some Christians believe that some of these gifts ceased after the apostolic era. But from my reading of the text, I don't believe that's a necessary implication. Secondly, as some of these spiritual gifts are subjective, it's important that we exercise them wisely and in a way that everyone can feel safe. So here's some wisdom from Andrew Wilson on the facilitation of charismatic ministry in churches. He says, distinguish between deep end and shallow end contexts. It can be helpful to use the image of a swimming pool to differentiate between the various sorts of meetings that a church might hold and the implications that has for the use of spiritual gifts. A Sunday service would be shallow end. There are lots of visitors, new people, and unbelievers present, many of whom have not yet learned to swim, charismatically speaking. So you need to be careful not to drown them. In practice, that means making the meeting as safe as possible, explaining things carefully, and preventing it from descending into a charismatic free-for-all. A midweek prayer meeting, by contrast, might be deep end. There are few, if any, visitors, no unbelievers, and virtually everyone there is a committed member of the church. As such, you can afford to be more open and take more risks since you know everyone can swim. The upshot of this is that deep end contexts are very helpful for growing in the use of spiritual gifts since they allow for people to try, fail, learn from their mistakes and try again. So this approach has been called charismatic with a seatbelt on. The gifts listed in our Bible reading only scratch the surface of the ways that God's Holy Spirit is at work in our services. So many of us will find that we don't have any of the gifts listed here, but perhaps have gifts listed elsewhere in the New Testament. So, for example, later in 1 Corinthians 12, we see the gifts of administration and helping. In Romans 12, we find the gifts of giving, leadership, mercy, service, and teaching. And in 1 Peter 4, we read about the spiritual gift of hospitality. On a Sunday, we might see some of these other gifts expressed in various ways. So, for example, the Holy Spirit may be enabling you in his gifting to lead stacks, to do the upfront Bible reading, or to lead intercessory prayer. He might be equipping you to sing or play an instrument. He might be helping you to give someone a lift to church or to serve morning tea. He might be providing you with the means to be on the tech desk, to clean up after the service, or to be part of the welcoming team. These are all expressions of various spiritual gifts. There are all kinds of ways that God's Spirit is at work when we gather. On a Sunday, we're not just here to sit in our comfy chairs and be consumers. God, in his grace, has given us each an active place in his church. It's for the benefit of God's people that we know our giftings and use them to serve one another. But how do we know what gifts we have? Well, a good question to ask is my gift effective? For example, if you think you might have the gift of teaching, you could ask, are people learning from me? If you think you have the gift of leading, you could ask, are people following me? Or if you think you have the gift of service, you could ask, do I enjoy cooking for 150 people after the service? You could also ask others in the church what they think your gifts might be. Sometimes it's easier for other people to spot these things. My prayer is that God leads us all to know what gifts we have. That way, when we gather on a Sunday, the Spirit can help us to serve one another for the sake of the gospel. When we gather, as well as helping us to serve one another, the Spirit also makes the team work. This is point two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul compares the body of Christ to the human body. He does this to explain how the spiritual gifts work together in the church. He uses this illustration in large part to respond to some risks which we may encounter in this space. Upon us all discovering and using our gifts in our church family, there are two main dangers: inadequacy and superiority. So let's first consider inadequacy. Paul says, imagine a foot saying, because I'm not a hand, I'm not needed here. Or an ear saying, because I'm not an eye, you'll be all good without me. Paul says, just hang on for 1 second and imagine if the whole body was one giant eye because the ear decided that it wasn't needed. How would you be able to hear? Now, he's painting a foolish and a silly picture to make his point. He's showing us that the fact that there are different body parts does not mean that any part is unnecessary or unimportant. The same goes for the body of Christ. Just because I don't have that gift, but rather this other gift, it would be foolish to say that therefore I'm not needed, that I'm not part of the body or crucial to its function. So let's take care not to undermine or devalue any gift that God has given us or anyone else. It's really important that we don't cop out of using our own gifts because we think that someone else's gift is more important. We don't want to be like the ear and say, I'm not needed here, and leave the body to be one giant eye. That would be a disaster. Now let's have a look at the other risk on the flip side: superiority. Paul here imagines human body parts talking to each other. He says, imagine how silly it would be if the eye said to the hand, I don't need you. Or if the head said to the feet, I don't need you. Now, last weekend, I went away with my growth group to the Mornington Peninsula, which was lovely. What was not so lovely is that during the weekend, one of my little toes got infected. And a frustrating thing about this was that my head definitely wanted to go for a walk on the beach, but my feet were not helping. When my foot was out of action, my head was acutely aware of how much it needed my little toe. The human body works best when all of its members are functioning just like the spiritual body of Christ. In fact, Paul says that the weaker, less honourable and unpresentable parts are indispensable and to be treated with special honour and modesty. In our society, we have a tendency to reward with status and money particular skills. So let's be careful not to transfer that to the church. Let's take care not to undermine any spiritual gift, perhaps particularly those gifts that aren't visible or flashy. The call is radically to do the opposite, to treat with special care the gifts that we might be tempted to overlook. It's really important that we don't think too much or too little of the giftings that God has graciously given us. Every gift is important in the body of Christ, just as every part of the human body is essential to its function. And it's the Spirit who makes the team work. But the Spirit is up to more in our gatherings than giving us gifts to serve one another and making the team work. This brings us to our third and final point. When we gather, the Spirit produces good fruit. The Spirit is very kind in that he helps us to carry out our unity and diversity in our giftings with Christ-like love. Paul teases us at the end of 1 Corinthians 12 with these words, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." And what is this most excellent way? Chapter 13 tells us, love. Paul says, the most excellent way is not speaking in the tongues of men or angels. It's not having the gift of prophecy and fathoming all mysteries and knowledge. It's not having faith that can move mountains. It's not even donating all that we possess to the poor or giving over our bodies to hardship. Paul says, you can do all these things and be like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So essentially, loud and pointless. Without love, we are nothing and have gained nothing. Here's the warning. Spiritual gifts can masquerade as spiritual fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Spiritual gifts are what we do. Spiritual fruit is who we are. Note the difference. Tim Keller once said, "Spiritual gifts without spiritual fruit is like a tire slowly losing air." Galatians 5 tells us that we can't collectively grow in the spiritual gifts unless we are growing in the fruit. The Spirit enables us to break free from hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. He then empowers us toward his fruit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, these fruit, of course, are best produced and grown in the context of Christian community. When we gather as a church on a Sunday, we have opportunities to be offended and offer self-control and peace in return. We have chances to be gentle and kind to those who may frustrate us. We can be patient with those in the body who need a little extra time. We can be blessed by the goodness and faithfulness of others when we've had a tough week. And we can receive love and joy no matter the season. In our Sunday gatherings, the Holy Spirit helps us to produce fruit. So I pray that when anyone walks into this building, the place is filled with the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are present when we gather because the Holy Spirit is present. So, why do we gather on Sundays? To hang out with some fun people, to learn something new about God, because we have nothing better to do. The Holy Spirit calls us together each Sunday, and he has a purpose for our gathering. We praise God that because of the good news of the gospel, because of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, when we gather, the Spirit gives us gifts to serve each other, makes the team work, and produces good fruit. Amen.